Welcome to Resiliency Radio with Rick Allen and Lauren Monroe. Interactive radio to empower, educate, and inspire during difficult times. Featuring live interviews with celebrity guests and cutting-edge professionals working in the fields of health, wholeness, and resiliency. This program is brought to you by the Raven Drum Foundation's Veteran Resiliency Project and is dedicated to all our military and their families. For more information, visit us on the web at www.ravendrumfoundation.org. And welcome to Resiliency Radio, everyone. My name is Lauren Monroe, and I'm here with my wonderful co-hosts, the legendary Rick Allen and Mr. Moon Calhoun.
Thank you. Awesome. Glad everybody could join us.
So excited about the show today.
Yeah, me too. Derek is really, he's an amazing guy. He's the real deal.
We had an opportunity to interview Derek just a few days ago, and it's just a really powerful interview. Now, for those of you who don't know Derek, he's an Iraq War veteran and the author of the book Exit Wounds, A Survival Guide to Pain Management for Returning Veterans and Their Families. And he really shed so much light on his journey through his pain and has so much insight for other people as far as getting on their feet again and really creating a map for them.
Yeah, him and his wife, way that they worked together, the stories he shared with us, just fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I want to read something that he wrote that shed some light on his experience. He writes, "I wrote Exit Wounds because when I was struggling with horrific pain caused by my injuries, there was no guide, no map, no mentor to steer me through the minefield I was navigating. Exit Wounds contains the information my family and I desperately needed back in 2004.
Fantastic.
So, can't wait to hear that.
So, yeah, he really wrote his own guide to his own recovery.
Mm-hmm. And Derek, he sustained a traumatic brain injury as well as extensive shrapnel wounds and damage to his eye and an amputation of his left leg right above the knee while serving in the U.S. Navy. So he went through an incredible journey with surgeries and numerous amounts of therapy just to get him physically, well. And then there's the whole other side of it, to gain your mental wellness and your emotional wellness that he talks about quite eloquently in his story with us.
He does.
So why don't we let everybody listen to the interview.
To Derek.
And then we'll be back.
Here's Derek.
Right on.
Welcome to Resiliency Radio, everyone. We are back with Derek McGinnis, Iraq War veteran and author of Exit Wounds, and we're really excited to have him here with us. So hello, Derek.
Hey, good afternoon. How are you?
Fantastic. Thank you for spending time with us, and it's a real honor to be able to speak to you. We've been going through your book, and it's so inspiring, not just for for veterans, but for everybody. We'd love to hear in your own words a little bit of your story before we start talking about any kind of details in terms of pain management. In your own words, tell us a little bit about yourself.
I was just an average person. Had the privilege of growing up in a good family and good supports, and was blessed to join the military out of high school, and felt that sense of duty and presence, and was in the service for approximately 11 years before I separated out of service. And it was a great experience of working with Navy, as well as the Marine Corps, as well as other branches of services, providing health care services. And it's been a humbling experience of growing and learning and helping fellow service members. Please forgive me, but yeah.
Is there any...
And more...
From reading your book, we see there's some really specific defining moments in your military life and in your personal life that I think would really help people who are listening who may be going through similar experiences, whether combat injuries or injuries of ordinary people here, civilians. Your story seems to be very inspiring, and you've carved out a path of healing that is very specific and pretty extraordinary. And I'd love for you, if you would, just touch on, you know, what some defining moments were for you so that you wrote the book you did and you shared your life the way you are sharing now.
I was injured. Basically, I was living a life of service in the military and of values that I learned and for a long period of time. And I was exposed to a combat experiences in 2004 that dramatically changed my perspective on things. I was injured in a suicide attack into my ambulance, and it exploded and dramatically changed my life. Sustained quite a bit of injuries and life-changing injuries, to include an amputation and a head injury and shrapnel injuries to various areas throughout my body. Mm-hmm. And at that moment, I became humbled and realized things are going to change. And so the growth was from there on. I had to figure out, well, what are these changes? How am I going to accept these changes? And what am I going to do to embrace these changes and hopefully grow from it while controlling those emotions and feelings that came from the experience. Mm-hmm. And it's grown into an experience of being able to support and help others. Defining moments, of course, were the injury. I was blessed to have, when I got injured, I was blessed to have my son. We were pregnant at that time. Mm-hmm. And I believe that was one of the major reasons that I strive to heal and to walk again and to run is my commitment to him and to my family. And that was a major defining moment of my motivation to, that was a strength I learned from my father, who was involved in my life and I'm grateful for. And so I believe that was the defining moment that really helped me motivate to heal. And after I started meeting some of those needs, I was privileged to be able to reflect on the background and how did I get here? What's this about?
Right.
How can I help others? What can I do? And since then, my work's been involved within the VA or pain care legislation and involvement with pain management and helping other veterans find this concept of, and I'm going to hopefully be able to talk to it a little bit later on, but post-traumatic growth, growing from the experience and healing within that and turning into gratefulness, which is so healing with inside of a person. So defining moments definitely were triathlons and running and the nurses and the providers that were there for me that saved my life, my son being more, my family, serving my fellow veterans. It was a privilege. It was really good. So.
Wow.
That's fantastic.
My
own experience of going through my own trauma, obviously, you know, when I came around and I realized what had happened to me, it was horrible, it was terrible, but from what I'm hearing from you, it became a blessing for you because you were able to share your experience, and that's one of the things that really sort of catapulted me to a completely different level. Once I realized that I could actually share my experience and lift people up and inspire them, which is really what you're doing, it helped me to perceive things in a different way and allowed me to wake up and basically say thank you every morning. And that's kind of what I'm hearing. Does that resonate with you?
Hey, Ricky, that was great. I'm glad you mentioned that because I feel that same way. And I feel that one has to, I hope that, I don't want anybody to have to go through a traumatic experience, but doing so will then enlighten somebody. And like you said, once I was able to process some of the trauma and continue to process it, and you know, in life it's just, it is what it is. You grow, you accept it, and you adapt it with resources and so forth. And like you said, once I've been privileged to come out to the other side, I hope that my journey or my supports have maybe helped at least one other person, and I'd be grateful and humbled if that was the case, just like you're saying, Rick, and I'm grateful to be able to bounce that off you. I'm glad you have that understanding that we can talk about. So, yes, Rick, I agree, sir.
Fantastic.
You talked about something that I think is really extraordinary, and I've never heard this term before, but post-traumatic, instead of post-traumatic stress, you're talking about post-traumatic growth. And I think that's such a beautiful way to define, you know, the next steps. Once you embrace and realize and accept that you're dealing with a post-traumatic situation, which is, I think, the first step for a lot of people, you transfer it and you channel it into a growth experience. Can you talk to us about that? Because I know there's going to be a lot of people listening who have PTSD and who are working with it and need direction, and I think you can give them that. Can you talk about that?
And I'd be happy to elaborate a little bit further on my thoughts. I'm doing further research, and there's been some good writings out there and research by various people, Lawrence Calhoun and Richard Tedeschi. They've written about it in research, and I've been reflecting more further on personally as well as reading more about it. And in the clinical standpoint, I'm trying to learn about this. I feel, and these are just things I'm learning and researching as a junior clinician as well, that mm-hmm. post-traumatic stress disorder itself it comes from a medical model and deficits. Well, I don't necessarily believe that maybe that might be always the right approach to solving the issue. I believe that there is such a thing called PTSD, and the PTS will be with the individual forever. But I believe that the D, with help and supportive, may be managed, and so that we could, with the D part of the PTSD, let's work on that. How do we manage the D part of it
mm-hmm.
so we can embrace the PTS in us, and then the growth is the gratefulness that's afterwards. Well, what's becoming next? In my own situation, I never would have thought I've ever would have desire to do, say, for example, escape from Alcatraz triathlon. Before I was injured and I had my two legs, I never would have done it. But after the injury, I would strive to achieve different goals. And there's a sense of growth. Education-wise, the head injury and the deficits of my brain injury and perceptives of not being able to get a further education or and that was really frustrating. And so, again, earning the degree and the master's degrees and getting the Dean's Medal and earning it and taking it back once I had the concepts of how to address the head injury so I can still grow. I believe there is a growth in my personal life. The pain management aspect of it, well, once I was able to tolerate the pain and realize what it was and how to resource it, well, or to address it, well, the pain's always there, but I can still work with it and continue on life with function.
Mm-hmm.
Again, going with the growth of working on legislation and advocacy to help other veterans. And now as a clinical person, I'm learning and I'm continuing to research and learn about mental health. And, well, how do I, my own accord, how did I accept the anxieties and the sleep and some of the experiences so I can better relate and learn? And now I'm privileged and I hope that I help one person, you know, find some peace and solace in their own life and the work I'm doing now. But more importantly, as like Rick was alluding to earlier, it's the gratefulness. Is every day I wake up, I look outside, and, man, I'm grateful, man. I got a day to spend with my son and play Legos. I got a day to be alive. I got a day to do the things that we take so granted for, because I've been blessed and privileged to have a second chance at life.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I refer to as the PTS, accepting the PTS and as part of who I am in my soul, and then the D portion of it, let's work on it. How do we manage the D part of it in this deficit medical model in that it's manageable, and then embracing the growth. Well, reflect on what the trauma was in the past, and, well, listen, what is your now perspective of it?
Yeah.
And there's some research out there, so I'd encourage anybody to look more into it as maybe a tool of a strengths-based model type of a tool, if I may.
Absolutely.
And, yes. Thank you for that.
I hope that was helpful, Rick.
Oh, man. I, how can it not be? Just going through exit wounds and just your journey and your personal experience, which is, I think, one of the reasons why it resonates with people so much. You touched on it a little bit, and I think this may be an element, a component. And you talk about complementary care. I think the fact that you're an athlete is a big part of it. Now, when anybody is traumatized to the point where they're comatose, there are certain decisions that are made for you in terms of care or actually back to basics, just keeping you alive. You know, what medications you're given, this, that, and the other, pain management. In your experience, what complementary elements have really, really helped you along the way and in that process help you to make really, you know, good choices in terms of, you know, either medications or diet or, you know, exercise, whatever that might be. Could you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, I'm going to elaborate a little bit further, Rick, on that. Even before I get into the complementaries, I believe the biggest impact that made in me was this, and I don't know how do you research it or how do you encapsulate it further or to repeat it, but for me, I was privileged to have a relationship with my provider. I had communication with my provider, and that I had that buy-in and that relationship where I would listen to him. I felt I was heard. Mm. I felt that I was validated, and once that occurred with me, I had a teammate that was working to improve my health care. In my case, it was in Texas, as you read through exit wounds, and I was blessed to have a provider that listened. And that listening aspect and feedback and engagement really encouraged me that I had a partner to, all right, let's try this. I have that buy-in. Okay, you're listening. You hear what I'm saying. And so I speak about listening in that counseling relation and or that patient-provider relationship was primary one. And from that point on, I had perfect buy-in. He had my culture. He understood who I was. I listened to him. He was a service member. He had his experiences himself. And I bought into everything that he had to say, and I was going to go through it. And that encouraged me again to pursue further in exercise, as well as CAM techniques or complementary and alternative medicines and engagement in the pain management and anything that provider may have researched or I brought to the table, we would be able to discuss and to use it. And eventually it turned into the point of, okay, listen, I need to buy into some mental health treatment as well just to process it and learn it, and I did. But it really came from that relationship. Now, some of the things I still use today to answer your question, Rick, is, of course, exercise. It helps a lot with my leg and my mental health as well as my moral well-being. And every 6 months I need to do an event that I have to train for, and I'm looking forward to the next one coming up shortly. But that gives me a mission and a purpose. It helps with some of the anxiety as well. It helps with the pain and the blood flow and oxygen flow through my body as well as my own internal ego, if I may, is, man, I'm exercising. I feel good. I've earned it. You know, I'm still moving. I'm still alive. I'm still vertical. I'm enjoying the gifts I've been privileged to have. A lot of mind-body techniques have worked really good for me. Just simple description as an amputee. I don't want to assume that you may or may not know it, but for me, I use a lot of the mind-body techniques. Like I curl my toes that aren't there anymore, and that helps alleviate the pain. And I stretch that leg still in my mind, and that works. So it's really mindfulness that helps me in accepting what I can and cannot do. But at the same time, realizing, well, at this point, at least I can do this or that, and that's okay. And I'll keep moving forward because I can function. That's what I need to do. Rick, I hope that answered the question generally.
I'm glad you.
I was looking for a specific.
I'm glad you reminded me because you know, I lost my left arm, and I still feel everything. I still feel, you know, that part of my brain developed, so I was born with it, so it still sends out and receives messages. And one of the things that you touched on is perceiving pain differently. And that was what I was able to do by actually going into the pain. And a lot of the techniques that you mentioned about, you know, curling your toes, the toes that aren't there. I mean, I can do the same thing. I can actually move my hand, my left hand, which, you know, it's not there. And it's difficult for some people to understand that. But thank you for reminding me of that. And, you know, it's great to hear somebody else's experience.
Mm-hmm. You know, that leads me on to, there's two more questions that we want to ask you. And this, you know, talking about the whole phantom limb or the energetic limbs of all of us. How you mentioned earlier about the humbling moment, and to me, when I hear that, there's a spiritual connection to when that happens to any of us, and it doesn't necessarily have to be religious, but it's like a spiritual moment where you connect to something that's greater than yourself, and you become humble in where you're at, and there's something about that's really nurturing as well that I find, and I always love to ask people when that moment of humbling comes, what does that feel like for you?
Oh man, I've had it so many locations where I'd be out in the country, I'd be riding my bicycle, and I just look over and I see that sunset or that sunrise, and how grateful it is to, man, I'm alive, I'm breathing, I got the air, and I speak to a higher power. I just say thank you and gratefulness. I remember coming out of Escape from Alcatraz on the swim part of Escape from Alcatraz, and I just remember having that emotional break at the very end of it, and just being so grateful out of that water, and just weeping and being grateful. And wow, I've gotten here this far. And then for me, I always say thank you, and I'm grateful, and I just speak of the day. Sometimes just driving home, I've had that opportunity just to reflect. Wow, I'm allowed to enjoy. And it's not specifics, it's just generality. It's just being grateful as to whatever being, like you're saying, that you one feels, whether it's through Native American or religious or Eastern effects, but this gratefulness and realizing, wow, the things that we're blessed with is to be grateful for. And I hear that. But for me, I've had multiple times I've felt those emotional moments, and it's so uplifting and draining. I wish I could describe it better.
Oh, it is hard to describe.
Most times, and it's great.
Yeah, I think it's in many ways it's beyond words. It's just kind of just one of those moments, a beam of light, you know. It's beautiful. We're all sitting here crying at the moment. That was fantastic, Derek. Thank you.
Well, you know, you're so blessed. We're all so blessed. We've had these experiences, and there's so many people that don't. And I think it's just a matter of being in the moment, because you miss it.
Yeah.
You know, you'll miss it if you're not in the moment to receive it. So thank you for sharing that. You're such a beautiful person. Thank you.
Well,
I want
to. You know, I got to tell you. Oh, I'm sorry.
No,
if I could, I'll give you just this realization. You know, like the other day, my son that just walks upstairs, and while I was going through grad school, and I was just working and hammering and just hammering at life, because I needed to do that just to get back. And I was, some just simple things. It's like, it was my son would come in and say, Dad, what are you up to? What are you doing? Let's go play, or vice versa. And I'd be like, you know, this moment will never happen again. Turn off the computer, walk away, and just play. I can get back to my thesis or whatever I'm working on later. I can do it. I'm going to play, because I know one day he may not ask, you know, because he's going to get older and I'm going to miss those moments. So it's embracing those moments when they occur. Or even the other day, he's like, Dad, it's camp, and we'll camp on the ground and just in sleeping bags and stuff. Just gosh, you know. And, those moments are so important. You got to grab them when they happen. So it's that appreciation as well. So excuse me for elaborating further, but.
No, I love that, and I love that you talked about your family, because my next question is you know, in regards to family and your beautiful wife, who I've seen in throughout your book, and she, you know, you show excerpts of her journal and her writing, and you know, I'm sure she's a really strong and powerful piece of your resiliency and your recovery. that I want to talk to you about the family aspect of pain and how that, and you talk really eloquently in your book about that and how it affects family and how you deal with it as a family, because there's so many people that are struggling with that right now, and I think it would really help them. Can you talk about that?
For me, again, I came back with some strengths before. My wife was in the service as well, so she understood some of the natures of our military and our culture. So I was blessed with that strength. But the most important thing was communicating and being a part of a team. And we could understand that team concept and beyond the relationship. And for me, having this partner that I could talk to, and she had faith and trust in me, and I was grateful for having that. But communication was the key. Well, what's going on? And also bounce back. Derek, no, you need to do this on your own. I'm not going to help you through this. I'm here for you. But listen, you need to find X, Y, Z or do this to grow for yourself. So she remained my wife and not my mother, if I may.
Mm-hmm.
But describe it in that term. She kept those boundaries up at times when I asked for additional help. No, Derek, come on, you can do it. Let's work through this. Yes, you're dealing with that pain, but you own it and you need to work through it. So she was strong and helped me. And at the same time, when I needed it, she was there for me. And we were able to communicate. But the biggest thing was communication between the two. Where are we going to go? What are we going to go through? And I was blessed with the strength to continue to move forward as best as I can. And she had trust in me. And we took chances at times when we didn't know what the future would hold. And I was blessed that she would go with some of our decisions that we've made. But it was our communication on the basics of what do we need. And for us, what we needed through my rehabilitation was to be together, because we had vast separations from Washington, D.C. to Texas to
wow.
to Hawaii. And so between all that and negotiating where we're going to be, we hunkered down and mm-hmm. got back to basics and communication and togetherness with and at the end of the day, I had those resources from the military that I'm grateful for, too. But to answer your question, it was communication,
mm-hmm.
Believing in one another and backing each other up, and more importantly, some of the strengths that she brought to the table to make sure that I empowered myself to heal.
Right.
And she also sought supportive services from being able to vent, to talk to others that understood what was going on, and
so,
provided
yeah.
her feedback.
Yeah.
She did the research, too. And since Exit Wound is also written for family members, you know, so they get that insight, because many times they get the blunt of the issues before the veteran's willing to accept it. And it was helpful. Andrea got some information and resources that helped her realize what was going on with my head injury and some of the common things. And it helped her become more ready for the next thing that may come
right.
up. And I'm talking, you know, I hope I'm not overstepping what the question was, but basically
yeah.
it was, those were, that's what it came down to for us in our journey, miss.
You're extraordinary. The two of you are absolutely extraordinary. I'm just really so impressed by your journey and the commitment the two of you have towards each other. It's really an inspiration for all couples. It's hard enough to be in a marriage, period. It's a struggle. It's a continual learning process as you grow, and the longer you're with each other, I think it opens up so much. And you know, people who are normal civilians that have 9-to-5 jobs struggle with marriage alone, and then to see the two of you with all the things that you've had to be challenged with, be so graceful in your approach to being with one another. I'm sure it's not always like that, but I mean, just to where you are now and all that you've accomplished is such an inspiration to all couples. I think it's tremendous. I really have to tell you that.
Yeah, me too. I recommend everybody read Exit Wounds, no matter who you are, no matter what you've been through. I think it's a testament to the human condition, and it's a love story. It's fantastic, you know. I was and still am continue to be inspired by it.
And I want to interview Andrea. Did I say her name right? Is it Andrea or Andrea?
Oh yeah,
Andrea.
Andrea's great.
Andrea, I want to interview Andrea because I think, I mean, in talking to other wives, veteran wives who aren't veterans themselves, I think she can have some wonderful information to share from her heart to them too. Wow, this is great. I look forward to meeting you in person, Derek.
Well, yeah, again.
Great. We'll meet up for, oh, excuse me.
Again, yes, again.
Yeah. We'll have to meet up at a different race maybe one day, and hopefully another drum circle of sorts. That's such a healing experience.
Good. I'm glad you enjoyed it. This has been extraordinary, just to talk with you and just get a sense of who you are and your strength. It's fantastic. Thank you very much, Derek.
Thanks so much, Derek.
Thank you, guys, and thank you for your time.
And we'll be right back, everybody. Welcome back, everybody.
Wow. That was fantastic.
Amazing.
I love listening to him. I think that we have a lot to learn about being grateful, you know, all of us. And, you know, pain itself.
It's humbling.
I mean, you know about it, Moon.
Yeah, it's humbling. I mean, I related to everything he said. I mean, it's a journey you get on, you know. And you if you get on the side of it that's gratitude, and start moving in the direction of the sunlight, you're going to win.
Mm-hmm.
If you get on the other, the downside, it's really hard.
This downward
spiral.
You got
on the right side of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what.
But isn't it a constant going back and forth?
Yeah,
that's where you exercise the muscle, because
yes.
You can't always,
no,
even
you
if you don't have constant pain or chronic pain, you're always going back and forth from.
That's the struggle.
It is, and yeah. I think it's an art. Once you start to learn about, mm-hmm. the more resources you have, the more you communicate,
yeah.
the more people you can reach out to, then you have the big support.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah, that's true. I have a big support. No, I do. You know, a lot of people help me, you know, with pain, or they remind me of what I ought to be doing, you know. But hopefully people will call in with some questions about managing pain.
Yeah, and for those of you listening, you can call in and ask some questions to Rick or to Moon. The number is 347-843-4903. And we'll be taking some calls after we do a little bit of drumming. So we're going to do some drumming now. Are you guys ready?
Yeah, we are.
Awesome.
I think we're going to take a quick break so we can get set up. We'll be right back, everybody. Our intention tonight is about pain. It's about decreasing pain. It's about relieving pain, releasing pain, physical pain, emotional pain, mental pain. And it's very important for all of us in this room, and also all of you at home, to set your intention. So it's one intention. So we're drumming, we're breathing, we're visualizing as one mind, not separate minds. So we're healing each other. And those of us who have healthy bodies, those of us who have all of our limbs, we channel that energy of health and wholeness to others who may not be in that place right in this moment. So breathe deeply as we drum, and if you don't have an instrument, just sit and be with us and listen to the rhythms, knowing that we're all intending on to relieve pain for one another. Breathe deeply. send your breath to any places where you have pain right now. Breathe deeply and remain in silence. Take this moment to connect with your heart. And connect with all of our hearts together. How's everybody doing?
Great.
You all right?
Really good.
Any good?
Great. Yeah, that's fantastic.
Excellent.
So we hope that those of you at home can take this with you.
Somebody turn the lights off.
Yeah.
I can't see a thing.
So we're at the place in the show where we'll be taking some calls, but first I'd like to mention a couple of things that are going on with Raven Drum that everybody might want to participate in.
Well, you mean April 2nd.
April 2nd.
Yeah, what's going on April 2nd?
You want to tell everybody about April 2nd?
Yeah, April 2nd. House of Blues, Hollywood. Do you want to fill people in on what's going to be going on?
It's an evening with Rick Allen and Laura Monroe.
Fantastic.
At the House of Blues. We're doing a fundraiser there. It's April 2nd from 6 to 9 p.m. We'll be bringing in 12 guests. To have a bit of dinner with us and
spot of dinner.
Yeah, spot of dinner, and then we'll be watching a very, very entertaining band. You want to tell everybody about that?
Steel Panther.
Yes.
Yeah, who we just toured with in England, and it was nothing short of fantabulous. And I actually just got off the phone with Styx Zadinia. And he was in Australia, and he's very happy that we were going to be using the House of Blues in that particular night, because obviously Steel Panther are going to be playing. So hopefully I'll be able to get up on stage with them and whack some tubs.
That'll be great.
Yeah.
So anybody that's interested in hearing more about it, tickets will be auctioned on eBay starting the beginning of March. And you can check out ravendrumfoundation.org to get more information about that. So we hope to see you there.
That's not his real name.
No. I think we have a giveaway tonight, too.
We
have a giveaway.
I wore out my old sack.
Ah.
No, I was rummaging around so much that I actually wore a hole. I broke my sack.
That's gross.
No, it's not. No, but I did. I did.
Can you keep comments about your sack to yourself? Or you?
No, but this is important. This is important to me. It's made out of a new kind of material.
Well, we need to pick a winner, because the winner tonight is going to receive an autographed Def Leppard CD for, you know, with your autograph on it.
Fantastic. So. Well, the winner is.
Wait, we have to move this.
Oh,
music,
yeah.
There's music
accompanied. Involved?
Yes. Dig around in the sack.
The winner is Kermit. Oh, Kermit.
Let's try that again.
Yeah,
let's try.
Yeah.
The winner is
Kermit, and not the frog variety.
So Kermit, you just need to contact us through the Raven Drum community site, and look for the Raven Drum and contact Raven Drum on that site, and you'll get all the information you need to receive your copy, autographed copy of the Def Leppard CD.
I'm gonna put my sack away now.
Yes. So I believe we're going to be taking some calls now. Let's see if there's anybody out there for us to talk to. Any friends on the line? I think we do have somebody here. Caller, are you there?
Hi. Hi, Lauren. This is Sandy.
Hi, Sandy.
How are you doing?
I'm good. You know what? Is everybody hearing you okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, yep. Great. Thanks for calling, Sandy. Yeah.
Hi, Rick. Hi, Moon.
Hi.
I just wanted to call in and tell you how great it was to hear Derek.
Oh, great.
And enjoyed, what he had to say. And also to remind you all that Derek was rehabbed at the Center for the Intrepid, which you have experienced with me.
Yeah,
and
that's great. He's amazing.
Isn't he?
Yeah.
And just wondered if you all might want to share a little bit of your experience when you came to San Antonio and we went out to the center.
I was really inspired. The center itself is nothing short of amazing. Just very, it seemed like it was state of the art to me. I saw all kinds of activities going on. And a lot of healing, a lot of growth, and I was completely blown away. I went away from there just feeling a renewed sense of, you know, wanting to be better, and for myself. So it rings true that it is a two-way street, you know, when you see people really healing in that way. So that was great. Thank you for that.
And the motivation. The motivation that was there was incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember hearing, watching, there was one guy that was there, and he lost both of his legs.
Climbing the rock wall?
Yeah. Can you tell everybody about that?
Oh, man. I mean, this guy made it to the top. And from what I can gather, he was better than anybody else at it. So,
yeah.
I could see, you know, how the place really inspired everybody in it,
mm-hmm.
you know,
right.
to be better. So that was right. really, really amazing.
Right, and the techniques that they utilize to, you know, rehabilitate, and these great warriors is just amazing. So Yeah, I just wanted to remind you of that. It was about 3 years ago, the end of this month.
Yeah. Thanks so much, Sandy, for calling out. We really appreciate just remembering it. It was an honor to be there. And to
yeah, thank you.
That.
We'll look forward to see you again soon, okay?
Thanks, Sandy. Let's see. We have, I think we have Mark, Mark on the line.
Mark?
Yes.
Our Mark?
I don't know. Let me see. Hello? There's Mark Valley Boy. There's a Mark Valley Boy here. Let's see. I'm not sure if he's coming up. Mark, can you hear us?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me?
I think we have a really bad connection for some reason.
We do.
For the calls, yeah.
It's a garble.
Yeah, we got a garbling kind of connection here, so yeah. We may not be able to. We're having trouble hearing you, so I'm gonna just put you back. Why don't you try calling us back? That would be great. Okay. Thanks.
Our connection, our phone connection, seems to be a little. It sounds like everybody's underwater, but.
We have one other call here. Let's see.
Well, if it comes in, but I did have a couple of things written down that I'd like to share with people. So, off you go.
Hello.
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 Hi.
Hey, Rick.
Hello.
It's John. Hello. Hey, John Roberts.
Yes.
John.
Hello. Nice to hear you.
Yeah, I thought I'd call in and share a little bit as I... knew Derek when he was first injured in the hospital.
Yeah, he's amazing. He just blew me away. All of us were just in awe of how he handled himself. It's fantastic. What can you tell us about him?
Do we lose him,
John? Can't go.
John, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Hi.
Somebody else?
Hi. I think
Don
I...
Don Dokken, how you doing, sweetie?
Who is this?
Don Dokken.
Hey, how are you?
Don Dokken.
How you doing, Rick?
I'm good, and you?
Good, brother. I was listening to your show. Interesting. And how you doing? I just thought I'd call and say hi, and there was something I thought you guys didn't talk about is that you know, I've known you before your accident, and I knew you after your accident. And I always thought that there's more involved than just rehab. It's also a lot of spiritual mindset as far as being strong inside to deal with such accidents and traumas in our lives, you know. And I remember seeing you in, what was it, Ireland, I think. You were there with Vivian, and I remember... you're just recuperating. I think we were on tour with AC/DC then. And I was really shocked how you were dealing with it so well and getting better. I don't think you'd even gone on tour yet, you know, and played yet with Leopard, but just after your accident. And I just thought, I wasn't sure what was going to happen. How was the drummer go on tour and play with one arm, you know? Mm-hmm. And of course, we have that connection because we both have the same manager as Cliff, you know?
Yeah.
And I remember you were very self-deprecating, and I just remember that. It really stuck in my mind. We were sitting at the pub, I think, and you were getting ready to leave, and you were, I think I felt uncomfortable, you know, when someone, you know, anything happens tragic like that. You don't, sometimes people meet someone and don't know how to, what to say or what, you know, gee, I'm sorry, or to act like it didn't, you know, just ignore it. And I remember you said, well, I got to go now. And you looked down and you said, oh, my God, someone stole my watch.
Oh.
I'll never forget that joke.
Well, you know what? You know, it's
probably used that joke a million times now, right?
No, I'm sure, you know, from shark attack to shaving accident to you name it. But
right.
I'm glad you brought that up because at the time it was very difficult for me. And obviously, you know, coming into contact with people that I'd known before.
With your peers.
Yeah. I mean, it was awful at times. I felt so self-conscious.
And I think, you know, I felt self-conscious. We were on tour and, it, you know, and you'd been after the act, you'd been in the hospital and rehabilitation And, you know, and we ran into each other. I'm pretty sure it was Ireland. I'm not sure what you were, and you were there with Vivian. We were on tour with AC/DC. And I thought, you know, gee, do I talk about it or ask how you're doing? Or, and I felt that you felt self-conscious. I personally felt self-conscious. And we were all, the Dokken boys, we were all hanging out, and I think Angus and those guys. And when you did that, it was all like we all had this big sigh of relief, like, you know what? You really have your, you really have it together, and everybody felt at ease after that. Because like you said, you felt self-conscious, and I also felt self-conscious. I didn't know what to say, you know. So when you did that joke, that we all just kind of, just a big sigh of relief, and we just said, God bless you, we wish you the best.
That's
and
cool.
I remember just within a year, I remember Cliff and Peter said, you know, what's going to happen? He says, he's going to go on tour, and we're going to work it out, and he's going to play drums. And I said, this I have to see.
Wow, wow.
And you did it, and I went, oh, my God. You know, I go, God bless him. I said, this is, you made a huge, in my opinion, you made a huge statement.
That's very cool of you. Thank you for reminding me of that. And I tell
it
you,
it was a great joke.
No, but doesn't humor always soften the situation? It really helps. You know, just cut through all, you know, all the BS and really just kind of put everybody at ease. And that was it. Obviously, did the trick. So thank you for
that.
Well,
you know, what you did that night actually helped me. 10 and 15 years later, you know, we go to a lot of the, I've done a lot of concerts at returning Iraqi veterans, talking about McGinnis, and I've done, you know, concerts and acoustic things for returning Iraqi war veterans, and they've had accidents with the, you know, with the explosive devices, they've been wounded, and I felt much more comfortable being around them, just talk to them like people, like everybody is, and didn't feel uncomfortable, and I think you kind of basically put me in that state of ease that I could just talk to anybody, and I'd walk up to them and say, "Well, so what happened to you? What happened, and how'd it go, and how you feeling, and you know, how you doing, and is everything all right, and you know, all that stuff."
That's great, man. Well,
so you kind of set the precedent there for me, buddy.
That's cool, man. I appreciate that. Well, listen, I'd love to talk to you again. We're gonna take
a
couple more calls.
I'll come, yeah, take some calls, and I haven't seen you in a long time, and maybe I'll come see you at the House of Blues. I live in L.A.
Fantastic.
I'm right down the street from the club. I live right off of Sunset. So, God bless you.
And you too.
Show. I think it was very enlightening for everybody, and you hang in there, and God bless.
Thank you.
Thanks
Bye,
for calling.
Don.
Bye, brother.
Right on.
Oh, dear.
Oh.
Who's on our switchboard tonight?
Someone calling us? Johnny there?
It's either John or Mark.
We've gotten a great ring right now.
Hello?
Hello?
Hey, Rick.
Yes?
It's Don. Why are you calling? You calling back?
Call back.
Hello?
We just want to say we love you.
Oh, yeah. You guys are sweet. It was a good show. Get
interviewed.
You're
awesome. Thank you.
All right, take care.
Great call, man. Awesome, Don.
Good to see you, brother. I'll come see you guys at the House
yeah,
of Blues.
Look
I'm
forward
off the road
to it.
For a couple months. And
yeah, April 2nd, man.
I live right down the street. I'll come see you.
See you then, man.
Take
cool,
care.
Man.
God bless.
God bless.
All right. Let's see if John's... John?
Yeah.
John!
Hey, John, how you doing?
What's going on, guys?
Oh, we're having terrible problems with our switchboard tonight.
But we have.
I thought it was me.
No, it's not you. It's not you at all.
We only have about 2 minutes left for the show, so we didn't get a great chance to talk to you. But we wanted to say.
Yeah, we just wanted to ask you your experience of Derek. I mean, you met him way back then, and you know. I'd love to hear from you, you know, your experience of Derek.
Well, I mean, for me, I think it's inspiring because I get to meet individuals like Derek when they're first injured and laying in a hospital bed. And, you know, you and I both know one of the worst times of their lives.
Yeah.
And then to see them go through the recovery and to come out the other end and find inspiration through their experience and to give back and want to help others and do great things. It's just, you know, for me,
for myself, because I know I've had some part in their recovery, and maybe some of my experiences they learned from. And but Derek, he's another one of these success stories that took a very bad time in their life and turned it around and found a new way to be happy and find that new normal and to, you know, be thankful for having to go through what he actually went through.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
So it's just fun for me that I was listening to the program. We're actually at a staff meeting, and we part of, you know, healing and sometimes learning to deal with your injuries is through laughter. We had four injured warriors, amputees, burns, post-traumatic stress disorder, that are now learning to be comedians.
Fantastic.
All right.
Man. That's brilliant.
Yeah. That's nothing fantastic. Like burn jokes and amputee jokes.
Oh, man. Oh, man. Well, thank you for that, John, and we will be seeing you soon.
Absolutely.
Yes. Lovely.
All right, guys.
All right,
take
thanks,
care,
John.
And, look forward to talking to you soon.
Lovely.
To you soon.
Thank you.
Great call.
All right, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, bye-bye. Yeah, so one of the things Derek did say to me after we did the interview was how inspired he was by Def Leppard music. Mm-hmm. And I think we've got a bit of a treat tonight to play the show out.
All right, I guess we're going to ride out with some Def Leppard.
Yeah,
I think so.
Thanks.
You there, Preston?
All right, thanks, everybody.
Hey,
we'll
see you soon. Have a good night. Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.
If you ever gonna doubt my faith, then I'll call your name.